Alexa, play Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Live on Discovery Paranormal, where we talk about all kinds of things paranormal. And the holidays are here, and people get extra energy weird. I'm an energy junkie, and then observing energy is an interesting thing, especially when it's the push and pull of humanity. At no better place do you find the push and pull of humanity than at a local Target store or a Walmart, if you choose to go there, because that's where you see it the most. And then it's an interesting thing, man. I think probably the best part of that is like maybe even a Christmas Eve, you go out to these stores and then you see people really in the heat, you know. But it's just the whole Black Friday thing when they open the gates and it's like a whole bunch of cattle take it off, you know, trying to get at that feed. It's just, you know what? If you love to do it, I'm not going to knock you, because it's a weird consumerism type of event that, I don't know, some people are into, man. Some people like blood pudding too, and you really can't question why and that type of thing. But in the holiday season, you think that people get extra nice, but some people become extra cranky. And then when you're out there, you encounter it. And then, the whole Scrooge thing, man. The three ghosts and the ghost of the past and the present and the future. Deep philosophical stuff. But it's how you feel inside, which is the most important thing. And how you kind of either treat the world around you or how you take it in and absorb it, man. So I encounter all kinds of people in my life, and crazy people included. There's times I went to New York City. I don't think there's one time I was ever in the city that I encountered someone who was kind of off the wall. And he was kind of like, you know, treated like, okay, walk past him, whatever, how you doing? And sometimes you don't make eye contact. Make eye contact, they'll follow you. But it's an energy time of year. That's what I want to say. And then, of course, the Yule's coming up. Big holiday, was it 21st this year, whatever? It's always around there. The winter solstice, you know, and it's supposed to be about, see, this is what I like about Wiccans and people who do earth. They're all into the earth stuff, earth magic and whatever. It's positive, man, and it's nice, and there's no pressure on it. It's not like people say, oh, it's Christmas, and I can't afford this, can't afford that. And, you know, it becomes a money thing, and that takes away from maybe the spirit and what it's supposed to be. So you celebrate Yule, which is what it was to begin with. And then, people decorate for Yuletide, that type of stuff. It's winter. It's basically muttering through the winter until spring. And I've discovered at my age, my ripe old age, at 52, I don't like winter anymore. I'm done. I like ice in my drink. I'll keep that there. But I think that warmer pastures are better. You can do more in warmer weather. I'm not one of those winter people like, oh, I got to go ski down a frozen mountain. You know, it's just not my my realm of being. I'm not going to knock it, even though skiing is down all over. But I will say that there's a seat for every ass, you know. I'll leave it at that. So not long ago, on this show, we were talking about unidentified flying objects, and then how the Navy reacted to that craft that they were chasing. I had Augie Nost on the show a while back, and we also talked about that same situation, and I even read excerpts from the pilots that were chasing down this craft. And these are things that they tracked for 2 weeks. And this was the culmination of, you know, these two Navy pilots off a carrier catching up to this unidentified flying object that was going unbelievable speeds. It went from 80,000 feet and dropped down to like 5,000 feet, and it was zipping around doing stuff that any aircraft that you see at an airport can't do. You know, and we're still using that technology. Yeah, you could say, oh, but there's Area 51, and then they have all kinds of secret stuff going on there. Of course they do. You know what? They love secret stuff. The whole government loves secret stuff. And then the technology should be pretty amazing. From what I understand from the people that I talk to, it's out there. So sure, you can say that, hey, we can create a zero gravity bubble and then shift stuff around and move stuff around. And then, you know, it doesn't matter from 80,000 feet down to 5,000 feet. It wouldn't make a difference. But until you say, here it is, I'm going to see the thing as a UFO. And then also, these groups who track now the NASA cameras, right? And they want to check out, what goes on in orbit. So there are people that sit there all day long, basically watching, waiting for like UFOs to come and go. And they actually catch things that are leaving the Earth, things that are coming to the Earth. You know, they also caught some large sphere type of thing. To me, it looks like light, some kind of light reflection or whatever. But it's just interesting that they have the time to do that. And then they're hanging out, waiting for something like, ooh, look at that. And I think even if you have one of those, ooh, look at that moments, it's fleeting, because what are you going to do with it? You know, you're going to say, this is irrefutable proof. I mean, if you want proof of something, you don't look for things like that. You look at what's already there, and then you put together the puzzle, and you follow things back from where they come from the source. You know, so if you want the source of mankind, you're not going to find it from watching these little blobs of light fly through. And nor will any other, let's say there's all kinds of levels of ET. All kinds of levels. If you talk to people who are big UFO people, they're going to tell you there's all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, all right, me, I'm a private investigator, man. I need information. I can't just believe people's bullcrap. I need to understand what the real information is. Oh, if there's a ghost in the house, I want to see it. If there's a UFO flying around, show me, you know. And we have all this great technology. You know, everybody has a freaking camera on their phone. Everybody has some kind of camera they're walking around with. But those cameras suck. And there's no way at night you're going to be able to zoom in, have some perfect picture. And I'm a photographer. I'll tell you, man, you need some real gear to zoom in on something in the night sky and get a good picture of it. And then you're talking about a really fast lens that lets in a lot of light, and then you have to be really focused on that, you know, on the thing that you're trying to show, which in the flash of the pan, there's something zipping around the sky, it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. The only thing you can rely on are people with their phones, and they're like, look at that. So the evidence I'm going to gather from that, since I can't prove what those things are, is that here are on numerous occasions, there are things flying around in the night sky that are unexplained, hence a UFO, right? And then you have pilots, you have testimony from military people, for, you know, all kinds of people over the years that have dealt with the subject saying, they've seen this, they've seen that, it's real, and there's a base on the moon. And I love all that, because either one, they're completely off the wall, or number two, they're telling the complete truth. Then on this show, I read the report from the CIA on how they got these mediums together to map Mars. And they went back in time. There was people there. They described what they saw, even a whole story on how they had the ship and they took off. They were looking for a better place because the atmosphere was unlivable there, all that. This is the CIA. Then you say, okay, on one hand, is the CIA really spending our money on something like this? Or on the other hand, is it for real? And what I like about that project is that they didn't just have the one psychic, they had multiple, and they would just give them an envelope with coordinates in it. So imagine you're sitting there, you're some psychic, doesn't matter who, you open up this envelope and here are these coordinates on the surface of Mars. And you're telling the guy, what's there? and what you see. And then, you know, like one of these areas was like the famous, like, face of Cydonia and that type of thing. And there's pyramids there too, you know, off to the side of it that people had ignored for multiple years, right? So good. I like it because it adds, and it don't matter what I think about the CIA. It doesn't matter what I think about, because I know they do a lot of experiments, a lot of stuff and whatever. But it, at some point, to somebody along the way, it was important for them to do this. And we all know about Hitler and how he was all with the psychics, and they were trying to delve deeper and deeper into, you know, into that metaphysical world to use it to their advantage of power. Which brings me back to ET, because if you're any kind of advanced life form, you're going to look at humans like they're a bunch of numbskulls. I'm one of them, and I'm looking at them like that now. Human, anyway. You know, I'm looking at my peers like, really? So, and I tell you that society seems like it's getting dumber by the day. And then there's no saving grace. Nothing's going to smarten people up. And as long as they're stuck in a little petty hole of a mind, they're never going to be enlightened, never, unless something shakes them where people have to get together because of their mutual survival. And that's really what it is, you know? Where's the love, I will ask you. But we've heard stories about E.T. for years and years and years, seen all kinds of movies about E.T. Some of them cute and fuzzy, like the movie E.T., which I've never seen in my life. Only saw like one part. And I didn't watch it because I didn't like the guy. I didn't like the alien. I was judging him, man. No, I just never got around. You know what? It was big when I wasn't around. And then, so there was things I missed out on because just because I wasn't like privy to American TV at that time. So The Simpsons and things like that. So when I was back around again, it was like people, you know, be like, hey, go have a cow, man. I'm like, okay. I had no idea. And they're like laugh hysterically, like, ha, 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 ha. I had no idea what they were saying. Yeah, you don't have a cow. Okay. Yeah, I get it. And then when I was watching The Simpsons, and you see Bart Simpson, that's like catchphrase, don't have a cow, man. Which still wasn't a cause to laugh like a hyena like that guy did, you know. People are limited in their comedy, I guess. So E.T. never got into it. Now, Star Wars, that was a badass movie, man. All kinds of stuff. You got Jedi Knights. You got evil people and whatever. Kind of like what's going on today without the Jedi Knights. You know what I mean? And then dude kissing his sister, and then the other dude with his sister marry, have a kid. That kid's evil. One kid's evil. One kid's not evil. One kid's, no. Then they got to go back and forth. Because I grew up with 4, 5, and 6 movies. You know, Lucas, like when he put the movies together to sell, he didn't think that 1, 2, and 3 part movies, 1, 2, and 3 parts, 1, 2, the sequels, whatever. He didn't think that would get the funding. So the more exciting part was 4, 5, 6. And that's what he sold to the studio. Was the first one was 4, which is the first one that I ever saw. And then that makes things confusing, you know? But fine. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm down with that. Love the whole message. What he did was take a huge chunk of Taoism and threw it in there with some World War II crazy stuff with Nazis, Stormtrooper, that type of thing. And he kind of melted all together. But it's a true story of champion, loyalty, all that, right? I love it, man. But they're considered aliens. Now, do you think aliens are like that? They look like people. They have arms and legs and whatever. Or do you think that people develop as per their environment? If you, let's say you were some extraterrestrial seeder and you go to planets in these different systems that are habitable and you want to see those planets with people or some kind of thing like that, and you have like a little genetic cocktail going on, those people are going to, over time, adapt to that surrounding. So under that basis, not everybody's going to be the same. And then when you look at this planet with the multiple species of animals, and some of these animals make humans look retarded, like we're, you know, compared to whales, makes us look like we're ferrets, you know? So there's a question of that type of thing, and what we understand and what we don't understand, and what we can understand and what we don't want to understand, and what we're looking to exploit. Because certainly, if some civilization said, here's this big gun, you can use it to blow the planet up, there'd be some idiot out there threatening to blow the planet up, right? So there's that equation too. So if there is an alien civilization, as people say there is. People say it's inside the Earth, back down the South Pole, they're based in the South Pole. You have all this information, but only some evidence. And when I say only some evidence, there is compelling evidence that other things exist. And then also, if you think that you're the only life in space, obviously you're somebody who's very limited in your thinking, because space is vast and we don't even know where it goes, how far it goes, or what it is. Or, you know what, Voyager 2, right? We'll talk about Voyager 2. Voyager 2 just went interstellar. You know what that means? It means that Voyager 2 is going to meet Matthew McConaughey in a black hole somewhere, and they're gonna bond. You know what I mean? They're gonna bond, grow some corn and soy. That was the dumbest movie I've ever seen. It was the longest, dumbest movie I've ever seen. That movie was so long, I felt like I was in a black hole, floating around, waiting to get the hell out of the movie. How are you gonna release me from this movie? You know, come out of the TV screen like, that's the way I felt. And I overpaid for the thing because I wanted it. And I like Matthew McConaughey. I think he's a great actor. He was a great actor in that movie. But the movie was just, gut-wrenching, man. There's only a few movies in my life, that I couldn't finish watching. And I finished watching this movie despite myself because I paid too much for it. I paid $21 for it, which is crazy for a DVD. Anyway, it was ridiculous, man. The other movies were Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland and The Three Musketeers. Save yourself. Don't watch it. And, Arnold Schwarzenegger, End of Days. And it really was his end of days as an actor. It was apropos. So Voyager 2, I was 11 years old, maybe 10, when Voyager 2 took off. Man, when I was a kid, I loved everything about space. I had family who was scientists, and every time I got together with them, we'd always talk about what could be, and all kinds of interests with space. And we had other family that built robots for NASA and that type of thing. So, you know, when you got that kind of crew, you're going to discuss cool stuff. That's just the way it is, man. And Voyager 2, which was obviously the second satellite that we sent out there, was going to be the big deal. I mean, this is what you're going to use to contact aliens and talk to them, right? And have a dialogue. So I'll read this off. It's been in space now 41 years. 41 years, you know, which is amazing. It's going 34,191 miles per hour. It is the communication back and forth to it takes 16 hours and 36 minutes. It's a one-way light. That's one-way light time from the Earth to the spacecraft. So when you beam that light to them to communicate, you know, the signal anyway, that's how long it takes to get it from the Earth to Voyager. It's amazing, man. It's 11 billion with a B, miles from the sun, which is also pretty amazing. And it travels 290 million miles every year. 18.5 plus billion total miles traveled, right? And it's visited four planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus, of course. You know, the guy explored Uranus. So this to me, like, you know what's cool? I remember when it happened. I remember when it launched. I remember watching the launch, you know, on television and all that. And it was a real cool moment. It wasn't just going out to explore the moon, you know, which is cool. And it wasn't just going out to set up a satellite and then or maintain something up in space or fix something and that type of thing. This was about exploring the universe. This was a thing that was going to just keep going and keep going and as long as it could, riding solar winds and just going out there and sending back information to the Earth about what it's seen. Some of the most beautiful pictures, amazing pictures that came off of Voyager 2, you know? And it's kind of an honor when you think about it as a species that we are able to reach out that far in space right now as the lump skulls that we are. We're able to reach out and go that far. I mean, that is pretty amazing. And what's even more amazing, you know, one day, maybe soon, we'll have a vehicle that can catch up to them. You know, I mean, they're traveling 41 years in space, and imagine having something that could just catch up, you know? So that's the wonders of space. And then these are the things that are being covered. So when I think about UFOs, I think about the technology that they could possibly have something. But you would think that, you know, humans are so freaking petty. Why would anybody want to give people anything? If you're an alien, even if you tap into satellites, you kind of, you know, there's this thing called the cosmic equation. And I'll tell you what the cosmic equation, without going to a huge thing, what it basically is. Basically, the cosmic equation is such an advanced life form, couldn't possibly even connect with us or talk to us or understand our language, nothing. Especially since people lie so much. It would be like us trying to talk to a cat. You might try to understand you. The cat's going to meow at you. Maybe you think you know what the cat wants. But it's that kind of thing, right? And when you listen to political leaders, and when they're asked directly if we've ever had contact with ET, and they always give, even Obama gave such a cryptic answer, we've never had, you know, any personal contact, you know. Never had any personal contact. How about you just say, nah. Hey, we ever contacted alien? Nah. Not ever? No. Not like this big, long explanation. No, we never had it. So, and if I was ET, I wouldn't want to talk to him either, man. You know, in fact, it's been posed. I have a cool little group of people who are pilot scientists and whatever, and just people like talking about this type of stuff. And we all said, you know, who would be good to represent the Earth, right? If you had some kind of life form come and say, hey, what are you guys all about? You know? And we all figured out it would be John Cleese, actually, you know? I have to applaud that. John Cleese will be our galactic ambassador to any kind of ET. So hopefully they don't eat him. And then if anything comes from it, he could teach them some silly walks, that type of thing. So I like the fact that people are thinking anyway, you know, on who. And nobody wanted any, because the first thing people said, nobody political. You know, isn't that funny? Nobody political. We can't trust them. You know, these are people who run our countries, for God's sake. Nobody political. We can't trust them. You see what's going on in France? You see what's going on in the UK? You see what's going on in Germany? You know, even here in the U.S.? You know, these people act like a bunch of babies. So, you know, who would want Trump to meet E.T.? You know, they'd end up owning a condo in the city, and he'd have their ship. It's something like that. He's a swindler, man. You know, or Theresa May. Come on, man. Of course not. Of course John Cleese is the answer. He's actually the perfect answer, you know. I actually met John Cleese one time here in Ithaca, because he was doing some kind of a teaching thing at Cornell. He was not technically a professor, but yes, a professor, and then just teaching some classes, you know, on the interim. And I got to see him in a store called Wegmans in the middle of the night. And that was pretty cool. You know, we talked pretty quick. No silly walks, nothing like that for me. But he's a very nice guy and nice enough to tolerate someone like me at 1 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a supermarket. But you know what? We, mankind, are working on things to get us through space, to talking about catching up to Voyager, right? We, mankind, are working on things like quantum space engines. And the quantum space engines break the laws of physics as we know it. And this is the thing about physics, which bugs people out, because they don't understand what it is. And you know what physics is? It's vibrating waves. That's what it is. And there's all kinds of levels of physics, right? So then we're in the macro level of physics. This is you and I and the trees and the bees and the cars and the road and the slow mail and everything that we got is our world. There's a quantum level. It's also called the micro level of physics, you know? And then in that quantum realm, things happen exactly the opposite, basically, in our world, in our macro level. And then you would think, here's two observable flows that we can see. We can see the micro level. We can see the macro level. You know, so then we can observe both and see how they both interact with one another and what they do on their own, right? And since there's two opposite flows, don't you think that there's higher levels and lower levels that also have those opposite flows? I think if you don't have those opposite flows, everything falls apart. So then you get into dark matter, dark energy, antimatter, all kinds of stuff. All of this stuff is the glue that holds our universe together. It's interesting to hear a scientist say there's no such thing as dark matter when so many others agree. Of course there is, because these are the things that hold everything together. So if you didn't have dark matter, you know what it would be? It would be like this. It would be like going onto your computer screen, looking at your desktop, and having all those files in front of your face at once, even more so. And access to anything that you want instantaneously, but not having that series of moments. You know, so the dark energy actually holds things together to advance our timeline. It's a series of moments, right? And it's all built back to back. And then it's going to have to also overlap. Otherwise, it would be infallible. So if you think about the concept of quantum computing that they're getting into now, which is also very interesting, we are delving into that world. And now in that quantum world, let's say this, right? Let's say you had a pencil that was made up of materials that could stretch through space. Boom. Quantum pencil, right? You're here on the earth holding that pencil. The pencil's going all through the universe. And let's say you want to penetrate Uranus, right? That pencil, as long as you have the coordinates, and it's more than that, check this out. Because coordinates, and it would have to be a 5-point coordinate, coordinates just gives you to a spot. But now you're talking about celestial bodies that are not only moving, but they're spinning it too. So they're in an orbit, they're going around the sun, and they're spinning at the same time. Then some of them have moons that are going past and spinning around. So you have to be able to calculate all of that so that pencil can penetrate Uranus. And then the pencil will come back to you, and then you can grab that pencil with the other hand, hence your quantum connection. So instantaneously, you are connected to Uranus, and Uranus is connected to you. You see how that works? So this is the interesting part, that if you had, all right, you know, they have a new system that they think can propel a spacecraft pretty fast, you know, pretty fast, up, almost up to the speed of light, right? With no propellant whatsoever. So the implications of the discovery are really far-reaching, right? And you can put these applications for spaceflight and other technologies, just like mining ships, and we've talked about that here, who's going to be out there first, and what they're going to be doing and what they're going to be bringing back, because humans are money motivated. They're not exploration motivated anymore necessarily. It'll always be the explorers who will go out in space, and then, you know, just like the people who were here on the Earth that explored other parts of the Earth. It's mankind loves to explore, right? Is what we do, you know, but it's going to be money motivated on top of that. So I'm talking about, all right, let me read this. they're tapping into the quantum vacuum, also known as a zero point, right? So the bottom line is that space is not empty, and the energy which lies within can be used. So this was experimentally confirmed when the Casimir effect illustrated zero point or vacuum state energy, which predicts that two metal plates close together attract each other due to an imbalance in the quantum fluctuations. So boom, you have thrust, you have drive, right? And it's a propellant-less thruster. So you don't need any kind of anything. You don't need fossil fuels. You don't need the electricity that to drive some kind of motor, nothing, man. You know, they talked about using having solar sails and that type of thing. In this system, this Kinney drive will propel you. And then it's pretty amazing. It's also known as an EM drive, right? So I think that as you get into this type of situation, we will be able to catch up it's going 34,000 miles an hour. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. Catch up the Voyager. That'd be interesting. But can mankind pull it off? And then you're going to have a system. All right, so let's say you can go. You're not going to be able to hit light speed, because when you get to that level of light speed, everything stops. Nothing can, you can't burn any fuel past that. And this is what's been talked about with scientists. Of course, we can't get there. We can kind of get close to there in the super colliders, and we're doing a lot of tests and things like that to see what happens. But basically, if you can't penetrate light speed, you're limited. Now, there are people that said we couldn't penetrate the speed of sound, right? And then obviously we did, and people do every day. So it's a level of understanding that you have to get to go past that, right? And then you have creative people like Elon Musk. You know, they're painting him as some wacko right now. But I'll tell you, the guy's maybe a little arrogant or whatever, but he's an innovator and a creator. He's somebody who's an inventor, and he comes up with great ideas for things. That's what we need. We need that. You know, we don't need to ridicule people like that. We need to cultivate people like that in our society. People that think outside the box, people that believe in tachyons, people that believe in penetrating, light speed. But let's say we do, right? What are we going to do with it? You know, let's say we can travel to Uranus right now. What would you do with it? You know, put an outpost on Uranus? Something like that? Would you explore? So, and I think that that all comes down to money too, because not a lot of governments are going to be like, well, yeah, let's spend, $3 trillion exploring Uranus when we have trouble and problems here. So to me, if you're going to explore space and be able to really get out there, it's going to have to be dirt cheap, easy peasy. And the people that we send are either going to have to be expendable or they're going to be robots. So if you start sending artificial life forms, which is the most plausible thing, because they don't need oxygen, there's no issue. You know, the thing blows up, it blows up. Let me tell you, that Voyager, that thing is tiny. It's traveling at 35,000 miles an hour. So are like space rocks and asteroids flying through space. You don't want to get hit by one of those things. They have a leak now that they don't know what to do with that up in space, And then Russia's blaming us for the leak, that maybe someone drilled through it. I mean, what are people, idiots? You work on a space station. The one thing you want to make sure is that you don't drill a hole in the side. People don't care about their jobs anymore, I think. I think that if you're willing to do something like that, well, now they're doing a spacewalk, and they're going to look for the hole. So it's like the Three Stooges are up there, and then they're kind of just all bonking their heads and screwing around. And then you're like, well, they're expendable, right? I mean, that's the sad part of it. It's like, and I think they go crazy when they're up there for a long time. Really, humans are not made to travel through space, Maybe if you had some kind of theoretical Stargate, I mean, if you listen to the Ancient Alien people, which I like the whole Ancient Alien thoughts. I like to question the past. And when you have things that don't add up, it's also nice to ponder what things, what those things could be, right? So Ancient Alien people say there's Egyptian societies and all that that point to having this stargate that people could walk through and zip from one place to the other. And yeah, if you had that kind of technology, let's not think like humans and think like, you know, developed technically oriented beings. Sure, in the world of quantum physics, they've had particles that traveled miles from one place to the other instantaneously through rock, through stuff and whatever, and all kinds of obstructions. So that's something that shouldn't happen in our realm, right? In our realm, can you imagine getting into a bus and that bus instantaneously takes you from New York to LA and you're there, in a millisecond, right? Boom. That's the kind of technology I'm talking about. And I believe that there are civilizations out there that have that. Then you have to ask, what's their motivation? Now, that's the big one for me. I know what humans are motivated by, and it's very, very primitive. There's only a few people, and I mean that, only a few people that are motivated by evolving and sharing nature and art and all that, and appreciation and music, how you flow, all that. But most people are dogged by finances and, a lot of the power and control of your warlords, man, your masters or whatever, that top 1% that's totally in control. They're the robber barons, whatever you want to call them. It's fine. It exists and it's easy to see. Maybe people don't want to admit it sometimes to themselves, but it is what it is. So what motivates you? You got to get up, you got to eat, you got to work and whatever. You got family, you do that or, whatever. And a lot of people have hobbies, things they love to do, things they love to share. I share my photography with people and all that, Hopefully they like it. If they do, they do. And all that's fine, right? Stuff that we do. But what about ET? What's their motivation? If you get to the point that you can go anywhere, anytime, and sure, let's say that you can establish communication with others around, and those others aren't necessarily the aliens you would encounter in like a Sigourney Weaver type of movie, the ones that want to just kind of use you as a host and eat your brain type of thing. Imagine that they were nice, or not even the Darth Vader type, the whole Star Wars. And I'll tell you about Star Wars. All the problems of the whole galaxy, everybody, and I've seen all these movies, all the problems of the whole galaxy all comes down to the one family. You know that? And maybe if they had worthy counseling at some point, they could have circumvented all these galactic wars and people blowing up planets and all that. That type of thing. So what motivates ET? If you're an alien and you have all this great technology and you see these humans that are basically still eating their own poop, you know what I mean? You're looking at them like they're a bunch of monkeys in a zoo, and humans are limited. Not so limited where we can't launch a satellite out there. So take that, ET. Take that. People are reaching out. Now ET is going to say, oh shit, there's a couple of these satellites going interstellar. There's the golden record. Did you know about the golden record? the golden record, I guess, consists of greetings in every language on Earth. Talk about confusing a being, and it also contains some Jimi Hendrix, Star Spangled Banner. No, it doesn't. It should. But now we're kind of reaching out with an invite. There's been a few people that discussed this idea of, if you send this thing out there, what if something out there gets it and realizes how lame people are and then comes over and just kind of destroys our world and takes our stuff and moves on, right? Which has been suggested if you look at movies Yeah, people's imagination gone wild. The scary thing is that movies tend to come true. So that's pretty weird. But what motivates ET? You would think that they would want to see people do well and foster them and say, okay, you know, we're going to lead you into a certain direction, but not be too involved because you're like a bunch of children, you know? And believe me, I saw Trump and Pelosi today and, you know, yeah, children, a bunch of children, you know what I mean? And these are the leaders of the free world. So I get that. I get why an ET wouldn't want to trust anyone here except John Cleese. John Cleese. So if ET's out there listening to me, John Cleese is your ambassador, man. You know, we elected him, just the three of us, actually. but you know what? A worthy three, I will say that. We elected John Cleese. So go get him. Go pick him up. Tell him I sent you, you know? And I think that we need to communicate with each other on this planet. And we don't have that. Countries can't communicate with each other. It's all posturing and this and, oh, I got bombers and, you know, lasers, and we're advancing our technology to hurt each other. We're not advancing our technology to help people, to ease their pain, you know, to evolve people, right? And then I believe in collective evolvement. And I believe that, you know, if society can possibly find its way to get to the point where people don't hate each other and want to destroy each other all the time, then you've got something. But until then, don't expect ET to drop in anytime soon. Maybe Darth Vader, maybe someone like that, right? We already have that. Dick Cheney, right? He's out there. Dick Cheney's still alive. He's 197 years old. You can't tell me that he's not a machine. You know, there are people that I look at, you know, on Fox or whatever, or, you know, I don't watch CNN at all anymore because there's no point to. And I don't even like Fox anyway. I just flipped one of the channels, Rachel Maddow. I see these people, and easily, I'm like, that's an alien, you know? I'm like, look at them. There's one woman on Fox, that her head and her neck and her shoulders is all wrong. And I'm not making fun of somebody. I'm taking a note because this person's on Fox, and they're reading the news off, and they just act like a robot or something. I don't know, man. You know, remember back in the day, Roddy Piper? He was in that movie, They Live. And then in the movie, he's this dude who gets a hold of these sunglasses, right? And it's a creepy, weird, politically correct society, much like we have now. He puts on his sunglasses, and he starts seeing all these people as like skeleton faces, you know, like, eh. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, look at that. And those are the people that, like, it's an illusion that they have a normal human face, and this is what they really look like. And then the people who invented these glasses were people who were interested in freeing mankind. And then all these billboards are up on the wall. Like, he'd look at the billboard and it would be some ad for something. But with the glasses he looked at, it would say like obey or control, your control or whatever, that type of stuff. That's what the deal is meant. It's Roddy Piper. That's right. Roddy Piper, who had passed away. And he's a very interesting guy. I didn't watch wrestling back in the day. I don't watch it now. But I think those guys are amazing performers. I will say that. You know, I will say that about them. So I like science. And when these UFO things happen, you know, it's interesting. And then NASA, you got NASA lately, almost weekly coming out with something about ET or something about, you know, we've been visited before. Of course, they've been here. Like, they're trying to break the news, you know, gently, gently break the news. You know, you have people, if let's say tomorrow you come out, bang, there's aliens, you know, they just landed in Times Square. Nobody would believe it first because people would be like, oh, it's just some stunt, you know. That's how jaded people are. Like, someone getting, you know, back in the day, what happened to that guy's show, Punked or something like that? But he used to be on Candid Camera. That's how old I am. Voyager 2 and Candid Camera, bitches. That's right. I was there for the tail end of Moon Pies. Yeah. Godzilla movies. people running in fear from big radioactive lizard in Japan, and it seems like it's actually happening. See, so these movies are coming true. They got radioactive pigs running all through Japan now in that Fukushima plant, and then people are running from them, scared. So yeah, pigs, lizards, whatever you got. But the reality is, things are happening. And you can't just say, because there's a lot of limited people. You know, if you listen to this show, you have a broad mind. You're someone who likes to understand or maybe have a laugh or some weird stuff and understand maybe some science or whatever. Whatever the hell you get out of it. I don't know. Only from what you tell me. That's it. When people send me emails. But I will say this. No eternal reward will forgive us now for wasting the dawn, man. Jim Morrison, right? It really comes down to, would you want to talk to you if you're an ET? Would you want to fly down, pop the hatch on the White House lawn and deal with Trump? Really? I don't want to do that now, and I'm not ET. So they would get nothing out of it. Like nothing, not from the interaction, nothing. Nothing. Come on, man. You got that Chuck here from Senator Chuck from New York. We're talking about a dude who's talking about tinkling. When you have a tinkle battle with a skunk and the skunk tinkles on you, you both end up smelling. This is Chuck Schumer. This is an elderly senator from New York State, Chuck Schumer, talking about tinkling. If you were ET, would you want to deal with him, man? Of course not. It's ridiculous. You know, and he's not even like a reality show guy. He's a freaking politician. You know, Trump, I expect to be a clown. Trump's a reality show guy. Of course he's a clown. Everybody knows he's a clown. If you don't know he's a clown, then you don't know Trump. You haven't been paying attention this whole life, right? It's just catching up to it. You're shocked and amazed at the crap that comes out of his mouth. Of course, because he has an asshole in his face. Of course, he's Trump. Doesn't mean he's doing a bad job, though. And I understand that I don't have to like people personally for them to do a good job. It really is, a judgmental type of thing. Do I think he represents the country well? No. I think he's a pig, and I think that he's a bully. But I also think that that works in some instances, man. So there's a trade-off going on there somewhere in my brain. But would I want to deal with him if I was ET? Of course not. Or Putin? No. I'd want to deal with John Cleese. I think that we've established that. So I'm going to leave you guys thinking about John Cleese. Go on YouTube, check out John Cleese and the Mystery of Silly Walks, and think how that fits in to ET's lifestyle and what makes them happy. Maybe we could teach them to dance. You know what I mean? You got to like something. Put some music on. Right? Roll them up some, you know, put out some whiskey, and then maybe ET chill out. Anyway, I will see you guys next week on this show on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5, New Orleans, 104.7, and Past Christiane. If I'm not here next week, that means ET came and got me, or the Men in Black, or John Cleese. I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna lie.
Alexa, play Meant to Be.
Okay.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.